My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
I'm John Batchelor with my good colleague Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired, CBS News. And we're looking now at Gaza, which is wrecked beyond understanding, reduced, especially the refugee camps. There are 1 million, 2 million people wandering back and forth. There's no active gunfights going on right now. There have been bodies returned, I believe 8 pending. But Hamas is negotiating with PA to in some way impose order on less than half of Gaza. The IDF is controlling the other half of Gaza. The IDF is exhausted and asking them to garrison an active zone like Gaza is another mission that burdens everything. Now, what we're looking at, Jeff, I'm told repeatedly from the region, is a tale of two Gazas. It is imaginable that 10 years from now, the ruins will remain and Hamas will be lords of ruins and people will be living in hovels carved out of the wrecked buildings. That'll be half of Gaza. The other half will be patrolled by the Israelis and provide every modern facility. We can imagine that, a tale of two Gazas. Is that a success, Jeff, or is this a worse nightmare?
I think in some ways, John, that's a worse nightmare for two reasons. One is for the Israelis, this will mean an occupation that is indefinite. And again, we've talked about it before. If you talk about occupation, it's about 20 soldiers per 1,000 to keep a lid on a population. So whatever the population is in the half of Gaza controlled by the Israelis, let's say it's 1 million of the or half the population of Gaza, that's 20,000 soldiers who are directly involved. But don't forget, right now, the Israelis are also involved in southern Lebanon. And there are increasing reports of Hezbollah starting to rearm and perhaps a reigniting of violence in southern Lebanon. Syria remains very unstable in the aftermath of the collapse of the Assad regime. And we haven't heard the last thing, I think, from Yemen. And then last but not least, the Israelis are still involved in heavy military operations on the West Bank and that occupation. So the demands on the Israeli military, the demands on Israeli society indefinitely could cause the Israelis enormous problem. And this has underscored that fracture that we saw just the other day, John, with large-scale demonstrations by very conservative Jewish young men who are arguing that they should not be drafted into the Israeli military, which has caused a schism in the society. And then secondly, what I learned in my time going to places like Kosovo, Bosnia, Iraq, Afghanistan, is when you have a large young population with very little to do, what you end up with is large-scale organized crime or more and more insurgency. So all you're going to do if on the other half of Gaza that you're not occupying is create this petri dish to generate more Hamas fighters, more terrorists alienated from the population, and trying to settle in some small way the score they think that they have with the Israeli military for the destruction that has been wrought. So the Israelis are going to be constantly involved, I think, in moving into that area for, you know, more surgical military operations almost on an indefinite period of time.
If you break it, you own it. We go to
Ukraine.
The new information I had over the last week since we talked, Jeff, was that the Russians are using a glide bomb that they can release from up to 150 kilometers away that has guidance into significant buildings and cities that have not been bombed before. It looks like it's the chief feature of it is that it's cheaper than a missile and has a bigger warhead than the drones that they've been using. I'm not sure why the Russians have reverted to a bigger bomb. I don't know what their mission is, but they certainly don't. You don't win from the air. All you do is terrorize.
Well, I think what their strategy right now, John, is they haven't been able to do, you know, significant gaining of territory on the ground. They have gained territory. There's no two ways about that. They are gaining territory at tremendous casualties. And there's a lot of fighting around a city called Pokrovsk in the very eastern portion of the Donbass area. And the loss of that city by the Ukrainians would be a significant setback because it's key for their logistical infrastructure throughout that particular region. But more broadly, as we move towards winter, and you and I both know the war will slow down because of weather and terrain, what the Russians are doing is, I think, using these larger bombs, which they basically equip with a guidance system. So they're using an older weapon with a, perhaps an enhanced guidance system. But it doesn't have to be all that accurate because, A, it's a large-scale explosive, and B, the target is to destroy electrical infrastructure and terrorize the population. I think what they hope to do as the winter gets colder and colder and electricity becomes scarcer and scarcer is ignite a second wave of refugees emanating from Ukraine, which then will serve to greater destabilize countries in Western Europe, Germany, Poland, Hungary, Czech Republic, et cetera, by this influx potentially of up to millions and millions of Ukrainians.
What we have here is a situation that is extremely unlikely to be resolved at the negotiating table. It looks like the Russians have committed themselves to at least another year of war. Jeff McCausland, United States Army, retired, CBS News. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.